I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Honey boy, place my ashes in a vase beneath your workout bench. Man United are back, Sheffield United are slack. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Monday night into February. I'm Pete Donaldson.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Oh, Lordy, it's the Football Ramble.
Vase.
Well, it's an American song, so yeah. I kind of have to go with it, to be honest. That's how he says it.
I like
Put my ashes in a vase beneath your workout bench. The rest of the song is filthy.
What is it?
Juju. Fabulous Muscles. It's a song called Fabulous Muscles. It's
Speaking
all about
of which,
just,
Jim, how you yes. doing?
How you doing, Fabulous Muscles? Yeah. Marcus isn't here. He's been indicted in Trump stuff, isn't he? he needs to prove his income, and he's just not managed to do it. Highlights of the weekend, Jim Campbell, Luke Moore. Let's start with me, actually.
Yeah.
Newcastle United bringing some goddamn chaotic energy to the Barclays once again.
Putting yourself first. It's nice to see Peter once.
Yeah, you know? And the first shall be second in the Kingdom of the Lord, the King of the Donaldson. The Dan Byrne versus Clive Utt battle was a real highlight in this one. Dan Byrne was getting rough. Busted.
They're bringing
90 minutes.
They are bringing the chaos.
They are bringing
a lot
chaos.
Of good energy to proceedings. Like, essentially, leaving it late with someone, a player that is really, I mean, most normal people have completely forgotten about.
Right.
It's big chaos.
Yeah.
That's big chaos.
Right.
He's not only going to pop up, he's going to pop up a minute, was it 30 seconds after he comes on, and he's going to score.
Mm.
And you're not even going to remember who he is.
A lot of people would have been hard pressed to remember which team he actually played for.
Yeah.
Of the
yeah.
two of them.
I told you about the time he absolutely mugged me off, Matt. I'm talking about Matt Ritchie. he completely mugged me off on live national radio.
I don't think
because he's
I
from my hometown.
Yes.
He's from Gosport,
right? Yeah.
And I was excited to interview him on the radio because he's a Premier League player.
Talk about the shops in your town.
Well, I asked him what his local pub was.
Yeah,
that's a great little icebreaker.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
First question.
Mm.
What local pub do you go to?
I'm a professional footballer.
I don't really go to the pub.
Don't really go
Just
to the pub.
Just make one up then!
Yeah.
Pretend you're an everyman, for crying out loud. Matt Ritchie doesn't care, though.
Coach and Horses, the Glencoe, the Artillery Arms.
Under
the
a bridge.
There's loads of them around Gosport. You could just say any one of them.
Right.
Yeah, and he didn't. Okay. He mugged me off. So I am...
Tiger or down Gunwharf.
That's in Portsmouth. It's not a pub.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Says a lot about you, though.
That's my pre-game. Do you know what Paddy Clivert's dad is called?
As in Justin Kluivert's granddad?
Yes.
No.
Neville.
Kenneth Kluivert.
Kenneth Kluivert.
K-squared. The KK.
I'm very happy with that. Kenneth Kluivert.
Kenneth Kluivert.
So it's very Kenneth, enjoyable. Patrick and Justin. Very Anglophilic name.
Yeah.
It's the most Anglophilic name since Alan Valderrama.
Good stuff. Why have we never talked about this before? Lukey Moore, what was your highlight of the weekend, please?
My heart of the weekend was probably... I'm going to have to. I can't let it go unsaid, can I?
You never have in your entire history on this show.
And I never will. It was basically... Phil Neville in what can it's a quote from 1998. It did the rounds on social media.
Yeah,
it must be from, I'm going to say maybe 442 or 90
Minutes. You can tell.
I think it
might be 90 Minutes because I remember that font.
The font. So Phil Neville in 90 Minutes talking about women. I guess this is back in the day that when footballers talked about women in the public eye, they were fancied.
Yeah.
And Phil was obviously asked this question in 1998, and he said, Liz Hurley would be my number one for sure. She's nice.
That's the funniest bit for me.
She's nice.
Yeah.
I'll take her to Pizza Express. No posh restaurants. Keep it simple. We go for a pizza, then home to watch Grease or something.
What year was that? Because like, was that kind of...
He's
like...
basically just watched Austin Powers.
Right. Yeah. Not Bedazzled.
No, because
like that, right?
It was 1998, okay. And Liz Hurley was in Austin Powers towards the end of 97. So I think it was probably Austin Powers. Mm. Phil's just got a... eyeful of that. And the thing about the Neville brothers is they're famously not interested in anything other than football, right?
Yes.
So he's probably taken ages to think that up, and he's gone, what's the last film I watched? Oh yeah, she was nice. That'd be fine.
Yeah, it's no nonsense and also like no fun, no enjoyment, no nothing.
And so this magazine page has got a number of different quotes from football players, and the way the image is cropped to the right of the Phil Neville quote is an Ian Holloway quote. And I can't see what it is other than the word brothel and pocket.
Well, it actually says brothel grand in pocket.
Yeah, so I'd love
to
know.
I'm imagining a £20 note on a string that leads into his pocket. That's what I'm imagining.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or, like Top Cat.
On the way on the street, he's glued a pound coin to the pavement.
Yes,
and
lovely.
Watching the people try and pick it up. Beautiful. The mind boggles. It's probably something horrific. I told you once that I was offered a job to do a caravanning and metal detecting show with Ian Holloway, which I said yes to,
of course,
and it never got off the ground.
It's gutting.
So that's another reason I'm upset about that.
Yeah, they made 6 Feet Under instead.
They did.
Very
exactly.
Popular TV show.
Exactly.
Jim?
So my heart of the weekend relates to the very game that we're going to talk about next, which is the Luton Man United game. Now, I can only assume I missed the first instance of the pair of them appearing on screen, but Sky Sports cut to Mick Harford sat next to Harry Styles, and Peter Drury did not mention Harry Styles, and just
yes!
started singing the praises of Mick Harford, and I just found that really, really enjoyable.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, treat them the respect they don't deserve, I would say.
No, Indeed. Mick Harford's
Mick
a legend.
Mick Harford is
at Luton,
more
right?
relevant in the situation. Peter Drury is a professional.
Is. Yeah. Didn't one of One Direction play for Crew briefly?
Possibly.
Doncaster,
yeah, one of them was
Doncaster,
quite a good player,
right?
Wasn't
okay,
he, if
yeah.
I remember right.
And they got absolutely totaled by Gabby Ekballenhor in a charity game, didn't they?
Did they? Right.
I think I can't remember which one it was now. Yeah. But there's also a bit there where Mick Harford hands Harry Styles a Treble Mint.
Yes, an extra strong mint.
Extra strong mint, yeah. And people don't know this, but actually just off camera is Sammy Lee's unwrapping them.
What was the rhyme back in school? Treble Mints are a minty bit stronger, shove them up your bum and they last a bit longer.
Yes, yeah.
So maybe Mick Harford shoved up his bum.
Or maybe,
to make
you know,
it last a bit longer.
Sammy Lee is on hand as some sort of horrific
on
Pez
bum.
Dispenser.
I'm not sure I was expecting when I saw Luton 1, Man United 2.
No.
Harry Styles to be eating Treble Strong Mints from Sammy Lee's bum hole.
Well,
that's how it goes.
Yeah.
That's how it goes on the ramble.
I mean, they were waving it around like it was a bloody Rolex. They were proper pleased that they existed.
Yeah. And how pleased were the studio that Harry Styles was there?
Yeah.
Like they were proper star, like properly starstruck.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Yeah,
they showed it on the show. Like, but the point is, if Harry Styles turns up and he visits, and you're happy to see him, that's fine. We've got people we like, and he's a very talented young man, and good on him, right? I don't think it needs to make up part of the football broadcast, is what I'm saying.
Well, let's move on to the match. Big teams have struggled at Kenilworth Road. This might be better than the scoreline would suggest. Luton 1, Manchester United 2. Rasmus Højlund scoring with his chest from some distance, Jim, as well. It wasn't like it was like a tap-in or anything.
Yeah, it was really quite impressive, wasn't it? And
yeah.
I'm still, you know, unsure about whether he completely meant it.
It's got to be the furthest out someone's ever scored a chest.
Yeah.
I challenge anyone listening to this to find us a chest goal from further out than that.
Yeah, and to say he didn't, maybe didn't mean it. I mean,
it's the best chest.
It's an instinctive finish, one way or the other, and it's really, really impressive to have this foresight of mind, or to have the sort of the muscle memory to just go goals there, bang, like, score it with my boob if I have to. Mm. Like, it shows you the confidence he's in and the form he's in at the moment that it even crosses his mind.
Do you know what I smell? I smell a Erling Haaland, Rasmus Højlund body swap comedy.
Oh, do you reckon?
Because Haaland missed so many chances with the dual commentary. Like, and Højlund cannot stop scoring at the moment. He scored within like about 35 seconds.
Yeah.
It was like one of those goals where Luton, in this case, the opposite team, were a bit like, oh, have we started?
Yeah.
Can we start again?
I wasn't ready.
It was remarkable. Mm. I mean, it was obviously a complete gift. But it was a remarkable start for Man United.
It was a gift that was wrapped in a quite annoying way, though. You know, he still had a bit to do.
Yeah.
With a lot of people watching him.
Yeah, it was a gift that ended up being a treasure hunt around the house.
One of those ones where, like, they've wrapped it in such a confounding way that
that's the parcel wrapping.
Yeah, exactly.
Five or six different levels. But, I mean, Jim, you showed your pleasure, or displeasure rather, for goals scored with unconventional body parts.
No, it was
on the show. Was it very much pleasure?
Very much pleasure,
right?
I'm all for it.
How would you rank him?
Erling Haaland scoring with a perineum is obviously up there, because it's just a physical marvel that anyone can do that, even in an improvised circumstance. This is up there, though. Yeah. Ronaldinho used to do sort of power move passes with his chest.
Yeah, I remember
that. And that's a very impressive thing.
When is a player going to score with his soul?
It'll be Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
I remember a friend of mine who was quite good at football, and we used to go down to the old little beach holidays down in Devon.
Mm.
We used to play a lot of beach football and stuff when we were younger. And he was amazing at doing keepy up, but just with his back.
Oh, wow.
Right.
So he would like bend over.
What, and just place the ball on his back and there you go.
No, he'd boot it up in the air to start with, so go really high.
Right.
It'd go miles in the air, come down, he'd bang it up again with his back. And he'd do that 10, 11, 12 times just with his back.
Right.
And I'd like to see a professional footballer do that.
Yeah. I think that feels like something I've seen Diego Maradona do.
Yeah, yes.
Probably a bit of an outlier.
I imagine he could probably have done it.
Yeah. So with the thing with the Højlund finish that makes it so satisfying, the chested one, is actually it looks like a shrug. What are you worried about?
It's nonchalant.
Yeah.
Mm. It's a little bit like Douglas Luiz shaking his boobs at the away fans when he scored. But it's a goal.
Well, he became the youngest ever Premier League player to score in six consecutive games. He scored seven goals in those games. People on the Football Rumble WhatsApp were questioning why Joe Willock was very high on that list. Does nobody remember Willock rescuing Steve Bruce's
presumably
career?
He's on the list because he literally scored those goals.
He scored the goals, yeah.
Exactly.
It wasn't a list of players who someone thinks are good.
Yeah.
It was statistically based.
Fantastic.
And he wouldn't get on that list.
Run of goals that got us probably 10 million more than we otherwise would have.
Yeah, from Arsenal, exactly.
But Man United are currently unbeaten in 2024. Is this a false dawn, Luke?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because
they sometimes do this, don't they?
They make everything look really chaotic.
Yeah.
They even did that in this game. Two goals up, just like absolutely piled in terms of control.
Yeah, so it was. I've never seen a team make a win away from home look so like unplanned.
Mm.
And so they ended up with less of the ball overall than Luton. They had fewer shots than them. Every other measure other than the goals, you'd say Luton were pretty good value.
Mm.
It was one of those ones where I was looking after my son at the same time. So I was like looking up, seeing what he's doing, looking up at the game again. Every time I sort of looked up at the screen, it seemed like Luton were like bombing forward on some kind of really promising counter-attack.
They were doing their very best to distract you from being a good father.
And then, they were.
He's on fire now.
They were.
That's half the point of the sport, isn't it?
If you don't mind me saying, he's very on brand for Luton. Tommy Robinson and Andrew Tate. That's all I'm going to say. You mustn't just rely on...
You might be good dads, but terrible men. You never know.
You mustn't. There's always a yin and a yang. I also found that, like, in my mind, looking back at this game, every single time Luton had one of those promising attacks, Casemiro fouled someone.
Yeah.
Yet somehow managed to stay on the pitch.
Lucky. Really
lucky. And I think that... a lot of praise for Kobbie Mainoo, and rightly so, I think. I think it's been a bit over the top, actually, given how, as Jim already mentioned, which I agree with, that, you know, they weren't, Man United in midfield weren't really in control of the game, but Mainoo, for a young lad, is playing really, really well. And he's playing even better, given the fact that, you know, he's playing alongside a guy who looks like, just simply looks to have wrapped his hand in. Like, he has Casemiro, positionally, decision-making, all the stuff that you associate with him when he came in, when they needed someone with that kind of experience, just all over the place. I mean, if you're getting your pants pulled down in midfield alongside one of the most promising young midfield players in the Premier League, up against, you know, Ross Barkley and Albert Lokonga, who was bombed out of Arsenal?
He's on loan, yeah.
He's on loan, sorry. Okay, fine. So maybe he's a promising player as well.
They both had really good
games. They both look great. And maybe, does that tell you more about the other side.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because Casemiro has been really good in this winning run up until this point. So maybe it's just one of the, you know, age catches up with people in lots of different ways, and perhaps it's a consistency issue with him. Yeah, he's played a lot of football though, hasn't he? True. At a really, really high level.
But watching Minou, he is embarrassing a lot of the Man United older players because he just seems so assured and relaxed.
In terms of like body swap comedies, has anyone checked like to see if Luka Modric is playing like Ross Barkley at the moment?
Yeah, I know.
Because he is absolutely magnificent. He was incredible yesterday. It feels tragic that he wasn't on the winning side because he absolutely ran the show in that deeper role.
He could find himself in like proper, like if he keeps going, like Luton Law. Luton
if they stay up.
Legend if they stay up. Like, he could be like Mr. Luton, and he wouldn't have fussed all that.
What a nickname.
He could have been the good Luton man.
Yeah,
one good Luton man.
The sheriff.
Yeah, the sheriff.
So they're going to leave Kenilworth Road at some point in the next couple of years. I think whatever happens to them, whether they go down or whether they stay up, the Barclays could do a lot worse than buying Kenilworth Road.
Mm.
And maybe if a team's been a bit naughty for whatever reason, they then have to play games perhaps at Kenilworth Road,
right,
just with away fans. Just find a use for it, keep it.
You
it's
mean
brilliant.
The Barclays in the Premier League, not the Barclays family.
I mean the Barclays as in the Premier League. Yes, that I do understand how that may have been confusing now.
Because Ross Barkley's probably hoovered up enough money in his career that he and his family could buy Kenilworth Road if he wanted to.
Yeah, but it's such a brilliant, brilliant kind of venue. Like,
very sweary.
Incredibly
sweary.
It's such an incredible sort of education into British swearing for the international audience.
I started doing a list of all the swear words I heard, and then I realised I was watching it with my son, so I had to turn it down. And also you just run out. You just run out of time. Because every single time there was a corner, you just, there'd be a lull in the commentary. Wanker!
I love.
He's taking the piss out of you, ref. That was one of them as well.
Yeah,
I love where the cameras are. You feel like it almost feels like you're in the game. Like that footage that went around in the summer of players wearing the cameras on their bodies. It's like it's the closest we've got to that without actually having that.
One thing I would say about Luton is that they've played really well in parts over the last handful of games. Really since the kind of, maybe since the turn of the year, and with the exception of that mind-blowing win against Brighton, they haven't really turned it into any kind of decent amounts of points. And there's been a couple of draws in there. They've been on the end of a couple of end-to-end ones. And they really do need to kind of start turning it into serious points because they are doing well, but they can't be at the behest of whether Everton's points deduction is upheld or not. Because that would be sickening, like absolutely sickening.
Completely.
And Palace probably won't get pulled in because they generally rescue their form at the end of every season. So
it depends how Roy gets on. Depends if they bring a new manager in and if he can have an effect. But generally speaking, you're absolutely right, Peter. But I think there's something kind of a little bit. And what you don't want to be doing at this stage of the season is you don't want to be unlucky. And there's an element with Luton, Palace and Forest that they're all been a little bit unlucky, a little bit kind of on the end of one. And that's not what you want to be going into it. Because realistically, I believe that Brentford will get out of it. Mm. And I believe Bournemouth will do enough. And then, so really you're looking at three from six of those bottom six teams. And obviously it's probably two from five because Sheffield United look absolutely dead and buried philosophically. And existentially, and then Burnley have been every bit as bad on paper. So it's a difficult one.
Yeah, do you agree with Ian Wright that Kobbie Mainoo should be entering the next England squad? Don't even answer. You got to tell us who you got to get out.
You've
got to take out the squad. It is legally impossible to say you like an English player, without saying who you're going to remove from the squad.
I would put him in to start, and I'd remove entirely from the squad Jude Bellingham.
I think. How'd you let me know?
I think it's perhaps a bit early, but I think Southgate has got a kind of history of bringing him in for experience, showing him the camp, giving him a little run out, perhaps. Mm. So I think he might make the next squad, also because he plays for Manchester United as well, and that has a cachet. Fuck knows why, but it does. So I think he might find himself in there, but I don't see it as being anywhere near. It's just a bit early for him to be involved in the summer at the moment. I don't know how Jim feels about it, but that's all I see.
I wonder if I'm not sure if he'd have the option to have a slightly bigger squad. Just for that exact reason, but I know Southgate likes to do that when he's got the chance, doesn't he, to take a bigger squad.
But for a tournament, it's coming down to 23 again now.
I think he's more likely to try Trent Alexander-Arnold or Conor Gallagher in that role that Mainoo would fit into, just purely based on experience. I'd like to see him get the call up, and it would be Mason Mount's otherwise golden position that I would put him in. I know Mount's injured, so therefore wouldn't be called up anyway. But can I have that on a technicality?
Yeah, you can have that on a technicality.
He's forgotten how to play as well.
And he's forgotten how to play.
Well, Man United are 5 points off the top four.
Which is remarkable, really.
Yeah. It's incredible.
I mean, it's
incredible.
In a couple of weeks' time, they could find themselves right in that conversation.
Well, I very much
without being in control at any game, at any point.
I very much enjoyed the... Obviously, I'm always trying to bring Newcastle into the conversation, but... The Dan Ashworth transfer from Newcastle to Manchester.
Is it a transfer?
Well, it seems to be because they're paying a lot of money for
him. Why don't we call it a transfer when it's not a player?
I don't know. Yeah,
we
a
don't
transfer
know.
Of because I guess you're not registered as a human. Because you're registered as a player, aren't you? Are you registered as like a
staff member?
Staff member employee. I don't know how
that
kind of work.
If the transfer goes through, they do a picture where he's just holding up a blazer and a shirt, the exact one that he's wearing.
Hold up a laptop.
Yeah. Well, speaking of laptops, he's been locked out of all of his data, all of the computer systems in Newcastle, it's weird because Newcastle agreed a £4 million compensation figure to end Brighton and North Albion's gardening leave around the man.
Yeah. He's been everywhere. West Brom, England,
but he's
Brighton,
just, but he's just constant, and he's going to have to sit out another spell of gardening leave. He was put on gardening. He's going to be better than Titchmarsh. He's going to be absolutely brilliant at gardening.
Love your weekend with Dan Ashworth.
It's the Cedric role, but as an executive.
Yeah. But I mean, it is interesting because like obviously he had access to all of Newcastle's plans and then he suddenly jumps to what is probably like one of their more direct rivals, if not financially, but certainly in the league. It's an interesting situation.
I find that is kind of annoying if you're the club that he's leaving because clearly he has all this data, all this stuff that he knows the intricate workings of a rival club now. He's been around.
That's what you're paying for, though, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, I suppose so. But I mean, I can totally understand why they want to kind of exercise their right to kind of get him on gardening leave for a while and make sure. And I think it will certainly make Ten Hag's job a lot easier if he's still there at the time.
Newcastle want £15 million for him.
There was
which is great. Was it stuff, was it
same
it?
As Alan Shearer? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Martin Samuels was in the newspapers over the weekend.
Mm.
I mean, this could be a parody because it's really difficult to tell these days.
Someone deep faking Martin Samuels.
Someone said that it was like they should ask £60 million for him because that's how important he'd be.
I mean. Maybe.
Newcastle.
Maybe. I mean, the fair play money for that? I don't know how it works. Let's move on to the next match on our list. Sheffield United 0, Brighton 5. I mean, certain players in the side thinking that Mason Holgate shouldn't have been sent off. He didn't even go for the standing leg. He went for the leg behind the standing leg. He just went for everything.
I mean, is Ahmed Odzic, who was the captain of Sheffield United, is he the guy that you said that his Twitter is a spicy meatball?
Yeah, yeah, it's good.
So he's obviously got some pretty fringe opinions anyway.
He pays for Twitter.
Right,
so right, okay, that's, all, to yeah, know. That's all right.
But I mean, he's probably
he can afford it.
He's on footballer's wages, though.
Yeah, still.
Yeah. Like it's... I think they should pay nurses footballer's wages.
Yeah, I think they should as well.
Yeah. But he's all I'm saying is he's obviously got a track record of having some pretty strange opinions.
Mm.
And it was amazing to watch him afterwards. Because it's very rare that a player will give an opinion about a game. These post-match interviews are normally very inane and very kind of sanitised. They just want to get it over with. And sometimes when there's a really high-stakes game where you've been on the end of one and they're a particularly volatile character and the adrenaline's high, they'll come out of like an outburst, like a Charlie Austin type thing. It's a joke, right? But generally, they're pretty boring. It's very, very rare for a player to say something, to state an opinion after a game where the interviewer goes... Really?
Yeah.
Like, sorry, what?
Mm.
It was probably the worst tackle I've seen in the memory I currently possess.
I mean, it wasn't like South America in the 90s kind of tackle.
But that's contextual.
It was silly.
Sometimes a scene in a movie can be really shocking because it's not a horror movie.
It was a bit of a throwback, wasn't it?
It was like a horror movie scene in a rom-com.
Right.
That's what it was like. So where the fuck has that come from?
You know, it's like the bit with the cartoon shoe in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where it's all fun and nice, and then like, fucking hell, the cartoon's been lowered into acid and it's dead. What?
Or
I'm 8!
It was like when the horse dies in Neverending Story.
Sure, yes.
It was like, what? This kid's a great kid. He loves his horse.
This kid's a great kid and he loves his horse. Why are you talking like you're in a post match about the never ending story?
What's happened to our tax?
It's a joke.
For
it's
me, that horse has done nothing wrong.
No. And so Mason Hallgate's face was amazing because he was literally like, what are you sending me off for?
it was a mad, mad tackle. To kick someone on the thigh with a slide tackle.
And the referee, I'm going to give the referee the benefit of the doubt and say that he must have, it was Stuart Atwell. He must have been unsighted. He must have been at a weird angle. I tried to look back, but I couldn't see what angle.
When it's that wild, though, you don't see him very often. So you're like, that can't have happened. Yeah. That's mad.
But I'm annoyed for Stuart Atwell because he's had to rely on VAR there.
Yeah.
And what he could have done, as soon as you see something that's such a dictionary definition red, you can have a bit of fun with it. Mm. Jog over there, nice and nonchalant. Off you go, maybe a point.
Big flourish.
Yeah, you could do a load of different stuff with that. And he's missed his opportunity there. No one in their right mind, apart from Amazonic, is going to...
So no one in their right mind.
He's going to complain that you've sent him off.
Completely agree.
I didn't see what Chris Wilder said. Probably something about a sandwich, but... There was no...
It was a leg sandwich. That's what he got.
He got a leg, big stud
big
sandwich.
Big leg sandwich, yeah.
Big stud
well,
sandwich.
Well, not since like Barnsley in the late 90s have a team conceded so many so early. I mean, Sheffield United look absolutely atrocious. About as bad as it gets, I think, for a Premier League.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Do you think part of the problem is that when they lose, Chris Wilder drinks 6 pints?
Yeah.
Right.
God knows how many pints he had last night.
Probably got a sore head this morning, I'd imagine, based on that.
Just generally. He looks like a man who's always got a really sore head.
He's grimacing. He's shaking off a headache, isn't he?
Always. He always looks like a man who's desperately looking for aspirin.
Probably got mints on him, though.
Probably got
mints.
Do you reckon you look at that man, you look at Chris Wilder, and you go, that is a man with a pocket full of Rennies and aspirin?
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. Or it's like some sort of Neil Gaiman show where there was like... the character was a human representation of a migraine.
Yeah.
Well, Welbeck's goal, I think, was kind of the entire match in microcosm. Nobody interested in taking him to task.
Yeah.
Just him having a free hit. And it, like you would expect Sheffield United to look like they have to work a little bit harder, but they were just listless.
It was amazing.
Listless.
It was amazing because it's one of the only examples I've seen of a Premier League team who actually wrapped their hand in twice on two separate occasions in the same game. They totally wrapped their hand in after Holgate was sent off.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't deal with that very well, conceded a couple of goals within about 10 minutes. Then it kind of was okay for a while. And they started to look like after half time they might try and push and ask a question. And if they can get a goal, they're at home, the crowd get up, who knows? Mm. And then they just gave up on that entirely again. And the reason it was a real double whammy for Sheffield United fans is not only because they look so bad, and I totally agree with you, Pete, they look terrible, it's they probably would have got home just in time to see Luton give a real big fist of it.
Yeah.
And even though they got on the end of a defeat, Luton, if you're a Sheffield United fan, you're going, why can't we be like that?
Yeah.
Mm. There's nothing stopping us trying hard.
Probably the worst thing about it is that it comes off the back of that win over Luton, right? You feel
Which
finally
came from
you're
nowhere.
Building a little bit of a head of steam, get a little bit of momentum, at least playing with a bit of purpose. But then, obviously, the red card completely changes the game.
Are we
but
starting
to
a new...
get battered like that, and with the own goal was heartbreaking to see, but it, I think just really sums up the feeling around the club.
Yeah. I mean, you sort of think that this we're not yet entering a new era of clubs that go down, and because obviously the parachute payments and stuff have been so helpful to
clubs
so many
have always
clubs
gone
and
down,
stuff. Clubs have always gone down, but clubs recently have gone down and come back up because they've got the money and they've retained their squad because they've looked so unfanciable at the foot of the table. But like in this situation, you sort of think like they're. I just think that the stuffing's been knocked out of them. Supporters, the team, are they going to find themselves in the top five?
It's a really. Do you know what, Pete? Being in a position where I've supported the team, we've been in the Premier League for a club of that size. Portsmouth, Sheffield United, roughly similar size club, right? It gets to the point sometimes where it's far worse than you think. Yeah. Because it's just fucking boring.
Mm. Yeah.
You're worried every single game about whether you're going to get anything out of it. Mm. You're worried about being a laughing stock and getting battered. And actually, I reckon a lot of Portsmouth fans, I can't speak on behalf of Sheffield United fans, but Portsmouth fans, you know, at the moment, Pompey are top of League One, they're flying, right? I promise you now, objectively speaking, Pompey fans are having a better time.
Yeah.
It's nice to have the glamour of being able to flick on Match of the Day and people knowing about your club and all that. And it's important for those kind of non-football reasons. But in terms of purely supporting your team, I don't personally think the Premier League's a be-all and end-all. Obviously, if you're Manchester United, you can't be in League One because that's not your level. But
I love Newcastle in the Championship. Well,
yeah, but you are someone who genuinely likes to suck the joy out of everything. You're the most nihilistic person I know.
No, I think it's more active than that. So like S&M kind of. I want to be hurt. Yeah. You want to hate, not like I don't want the absence of. I want pain.
It's nihilistic, isn't it? It's nihilistic. So Newcastle are too big to be in the second tier though. That's actually a bit more tragic than Portsmouth or Sheffield United have been.
Sheffield United have got so much history, haven't they? Yeah.
But the thing about them is that, you know, you talked about Newcastle being great entertainers this season. You were Luton. The game we actually had a conversation on WhatsApp yesterday saying we need to put Luton at the top of the round order because it was such a good game. We want to talk about it. You know, there's ways of going about it, like getting your player sent off for a completely mind-bendingly bad decision and then limping to a defeat you were probably going to limp to anyway and showing no real kind of gumption, and the stadium being full of people who are pissed off and half of them leave and you just embarrass yourselves on telly. It doesn't have to be like that. There's no problem being relegated if you're Sheffield United, fine. But they've changed their manager for a reason. It's arguably got worse.
Mm. Yeah. In a season where at least one team has had a points deduction, another looks like it's possible that could happen, you would think it is really a golden opportunity for a promoted team to stay in the Premier League, and they just look nowhere near it.
They might concede 100 goals.
Yeah, I think they
are.
They
have 5 goals in their last 3 home games.
65 now. It's very possible, isn't it? You just think it's the classic thing of them coming up too early. You know, it's a bit of a cliche, but there was a lot of fear about this season.
Same with Luton, though.
Yeah, fair. True.
I mean, if Luton stay up,
Luton shouldn't have been there, really.
It'll be a remarkable achievement if Luton stay up.
Yeah. Well, it was quite nice to see Simon Adingra scoring a brace in his first match after winning AFCON. I love those kind of like victory tours. I liked it when
he's full of confidence.
I like when players come back from tournaments and they perform really, really well in their first game back. It's fun. Anyway, right, this is the Football Ramble. We will be back in the second half with Chelsea doing bits and Germany dealing with shits.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Bring Calvin Phillips in. He's made, what, 2 mistakes now at a sending off. Cool. Oldest Yorkshire Perlow bollocks. He's a Yorkshire pudding, mate.
He's the Yorkshire pudding, mate. Yeah, It's good stuff, isn't it? Thank you to a friend of the Ramble. Who have we got here? Johnny, for choosing that clip. You can become a friend of the Ramble too by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble, as well as getting every single episode of the Football Ramble on the continent and up front completely advertorial free. You'll also have access to the Football Ramble Discord where you can chat with fellow Ramblers. Luke's always on there.
Yeah,
you'll usually get a welcome message once you join.
Always. If you Luke, join, you get a welcome message.
He's like
from
the
me.
Mayor. He's like Tom Nook on that game. Stardew Valley? No,
it's Animal Crossing. I'm not sure if a welcome message from me is going to incentivize people to join.
No,
but
good point.
I got really deep into a conversation yesterday on there about footballing hair transplants.
Right.
Which is enjoyable. So it's that kind of stuff, really.
Any highlights? Conte is my favourite. Conte is absolutely.
There's actually a surprising amount of players who've had it.
Andros Townsend, I reckon.
I reckon there's probably, if you went onto that conversation on the Discord and on the Patreon, you're going to find, even as football fans, you're going to find five players there that you didn't even know, Adam.
And the only
proof is that obviously you see an older photo of them. And
I think when players lose their hair, like they're losing their hair in their 20s, which is quite an extreme time to lose your hair sometimes, I think. Mm-hmm.
Fab Ravanelli was grey at 18, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Wow. And
Gabriel Magalhaes has had a hair transplant. He's 26.
There you go. Mm. If you've got the money, spend it.
If you got the money.
I'd love to see a footballer go really full on, like fillers, Botox, hair transplant.
Yes.
All that kind of stuff.
Korean cheekbone operation.
The bum implant, the shin lengthening.
Well, they talk about the bum being really important.
Shin lengthening.
Come back. Your shin's really, really long.
I think there's a guy on TikTok who's doing shin lengthening.
It's big in the Far East. Yeah.
It turned out he was like already about 6'1".
It's good
like,
stuff,
what are
you
doing?
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah. Just get a little step if you can't reach things in your house. I can't think of any other reason you'd need that.
Yeah.
There's a wrestler, the Great Khali, like he's 7 foot, whatever.
I've got him on Instagram, yeah.
Yeah, he's well worth a follow for if you like tall men who live in small worlds.
He loves playing cricket.
Does he? Right,
yeah,
okay.
He's
got a swing on him.
No, he's always holding the cricket bat in one hand. He's Indian, right?
So he's
always holding the cricket bat in one hand.
Killed a man in the ring.
Did he really?
He did. He used to be a policeman, I believe.
Bloody hell.
Are they related?
I presume he's a very good policeman, very bad wrestler.
He's hoping it's not the other way around.
Exactly. Right, Manchester City 1, Chelsea 1. Erling Haaland, not a happy camper in this match. We do forget that he's been injured for a long time, though, Jim. He did have a lot of chances.
Yeah.
Mainly from the head.
Yeah, the last game against Everton went a little bit like this, didn't it? People think, oh, has he you know, not got back up to speed yet? Has he kind of not found his range again? And he scored two goals, because of course he does, because he's so consistent like that. But I mean, even the best players in the world, which he's very much one of, they have these days, don't they? But what's so rare about it is that it actually costs City. They've normally got so much elsewhere that they manage to make up for it if he doesn't score.
And it seemed to be all about Chelsea defending as well. Chelsea just put a couple of men on him and just really looked after him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he had... The thing is, though, Pete, did they really look after him?
I mean, he had, what, 9 shots, was
put
it?
Put him off, though, didn't shots. He? Didn't score any, though.
What, is it like you feel like it's like an existential kind
of marking? Yeah, he's, someone here again.
Chelsea players, it's horrible.
They marked him existentially, and instead of, like, actually being touched tight to him, they just put things in his mind like, what if you're not that good, though?
Yeah.
Are you
secretly Rasmus Højlund? I'm hearing rumours.
Your dad doesn't seem to respect you. Like proper, like existential stuff on him. But
did you shut the front door?
Did you lock it?
You sure? Yes.
Left the oven on. I feel like I want to give Chelsea a bit of credit about how they played on the counter to start with, because it was quite effective how they did it.
Mm.
But that tailed off quite quickly, particularly in the last portion of the game. It seemed a bit like a training exercise for Manchester City. And fine, they didn't score. If you play that game in that way again 10 more times, City are going to win every single one of them. And I wonder if that's just a little bit embarrassing for Chelsea fans, because if you look at Chelsea's recent history, their spending as well, I mean, it's worth
probably broadly in line with what Manchester City do.
It's not
really,
though. Is if you not? Look it up, right. Over the last 5 years, Chelsea have been the biggest spenders, and they've spent almost double what Man City have spent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big portion of money. And I know it's maybe new in the project, and Pochettino and some of the players are still settling in. But I just think, in terms of what, you know, the reputation of Chelsea in terms of their recent past, is it a great thing for them to be languishing in mid-table and the centre-backs to be celebrating clearances, you know, and Man City missing so many chances that you eventually scrape a draw? I thought they started the game off well. If they played the whole game like that, you go, okay, that's how you go about getting a result maybe against Manchester City in that way. But they didn't do that probably because it's so exhausting not having the ball for so much time that you can't keep it up. Presumably, that's really how I would frame it, because I mean, you know, they had under 30% of the ball, Chelsea, and I just wonder, maybe there's a balance to be struck where that's the only way you can really go about getting a result against Man City away. But at the same time, it's not like they're Sheffield United. Yeah, you know, they're Chelsea.
Chelsea. I think part of it in terms of comparing them to City, though, is that they're at such different stages of their respective projects, where City are so streamlined now. Those players
are amazing,
have been there for a long time, and they're very good at identifying players that can slot in really well and adapt quickly. Whereas Chelsea essentially, you know, have a whole new team, and it's going to take a long, long time to bed in. I think you almost have to disregard the money. Just because they've overpaid so much for players. They overpaid to guarantee they would get them because Todd Bowley was, for some reason, happy to do that.
That's Man City's defence as well. Disregard the money.
Yeah.
Who knows why?
Don't say the word overpaid, though. Yeah. Did you see, and part of the thing about Manchester City is maybe it was a good thing for them longer term to not win, because there was that video, wasn't there, of the City bus turning up and the fans just not being bothered by it.
Yeah, why do they do that? Have like a man on the mic, an MC, sort of introducing the bus to the to the stadium. Yeah. I understand that people sort of
wait
monster
trucks or something.
Well, I mean, I can understand it if it's like the FA Cup final. But, you know, I saw the Man United, I think, and Newcastle team bus arrive at Wembley for the League Cup final, and I was excited. But that was an event. I mean, it's Man City at home against a mid-table Chelsea.
But if you were like 10 years old, would you not think it was exciting?
Yeah. So not enough to sit in the rain, though.
That's Manchester.
Well, make some noise then, kids. Kids, for crying out loud.
I wonder if we're putting two and two together and getting five there. But it's because it's the kind of thing that Manchester City are criticised for.
You know, atmosphere, low attendances.
And being used to just winning all the time. Yeah. You know, they're on for a double treble, which has never been done before. And that kind of video is always going to go around the internet because people are going to go, oh, look how ungrateful they are, kind of thing. So maybe, you know, from Guardiola's point of view, from the players' point of view, not winning at home in a situation where, you know, Arsenal going great guns, Liverpool going great guns, it's not going to be a procession for them this season. Yeah, fair enough, they've got a game in hand, and if they win that, they go a point off the top. But it's very much really realistically a three-horse title race this season, and they need to be better. It's the first 2 points they've dropped in ages, but at the same time, it's a nice reminder for them, I suppose.
A lot of love for Axel Wilson, Arthur, Dezazzi, McInnes, Belho. A lot of names, that guy.
It's a brilliant name.
And none of them seem like they fit with the other ones.
But he was doing the stuff that John Terry, because Jamie Carragher compared him to John Terry. He was doing the stuff that, like...
I hope not.
Well, on the pitch, he was doing the stuff that that John Terry's known for, and is really a symptom of how they were getting battered around, rather than he was like doing a prime Van Dijk, marshalling everything, and nothing was getting near
him. Putting his head everywhere.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's like a head on a stick.
Putting his body on the line.
Absolute head on a stick. Harry Maguire stuff. How Harry Maguire got through that Luton Man United game without getting mentioned by us as well.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I've just reminding myself of that. But Disasi was very much ahead on the stick.
Did you see Pep Guardiola's reaction to Sterling?
It's amazing.
Scoring against his former club. It was almost like a kind of DX chop, big about wrestling, crotch chop, like an angry crotch chop at one
furious.
Point. Absolutely fuming he was.
He won't want Sterling and he won't want Palmer to do anything against him, will he? For obvious reasons. So it kind of makes sense. So Sterling, I thought Sterling's celebration was quite interesting. Yeah, he's obviously had a difficult time of it. He's dropped out of the England contention. You know, Chelsea aren't having a great season. It wasn't quite Callum Hudson-Odoi, which we'll come on to in a minute, but it was quite a passionate celebration, I thought.
Yeah.
In a kind of quietly intense way.
Rodri's celebration.
Yeah, he loved it.
Yeah.
He's swearing at people. Was he swearing at his own fans?
He was swearing at his own fans. He swore on the post-match. He's a sweary man. He's a sweary man, isn't he? Yeah.
He seems to almost exclusively score important goals, Rodri.
Nice.
He's incredible at popping up with that.
Anyway, this result means that City lost ground in the title race, obviously, as you said, as Liverpool and Arsenal both won on Saturday. And speaking of title races, there were some absolutely huge games at the top of the Women's Super League this weekend. Man City beat Chelsea to go level on points on Friday night. Then Arsenal thrashed Man United in front of a record WSL crowd at the Emirates on Saturday. Chloe and Rachel will be talking about all of that tomorrow morning in this very studio. So go and search Upfront. That's Upfront, one word, in your podcast app, and hit subscribe. Nottingham Forest 2, West Ham 0. David Moyes defending his position at West Ham. Little bit Roy the Boy.
It was.
It was very defensive, very slightly arrogant for a team who are atrocious at the moment. But you might say that with this match, watching this match, Nottingham Forest out David Moyes as David Moyes a little. Very defensive, hitting them on the counter, and they won in the end.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, Callum Hudson-Odoi's celebration was very, very passionate. Mm. I couldn't work out why he was so happy about it. It's presumably because he hasn't scored as many goals as he wants to, not because he hates West Ham and David Moyes. Although maybe I've missed something, maybe he does. But but it was another really bad day at the office for West Ham. I mean, Calvin Phillips is having the worst visit to the East End of London since Jack the Hat McVitie.
how many matches has he played? Two? Well, it's not many, is it? I mean,
yeah, it's three or two, three, four, not not very many,
ten,
but they've
10, 20.
But like 3 minutes into his debut, he was directly responsible for a goal, you know, against West Ham. He's now been sent off for two yellows in quick succession. He just looks a little bit lost. It's a shame, really, isn't it? And it's not what they needed from him. The whole slide looks really, really bad for West Ham. Obviously, when it gets to March, there are going to be Europa League games coming up as well. They're like thicken that schedule, and they just look like a different team from the team we saw at the tail end of last year. And you know, you guys talked about it really well when the rumours about Moyes' future first started circulating. There's a lot of people outside of West Ham have this kind of careful what you wish for narrative in terms of how well David Moyes has done, but I mean, if someone is available, let's, for example, just pluck a name out of the air. Let's, for the sake of ease, say Graham Potter. So someone like Graham Potter is available, and they think that the board think they can get a better tune out of the players they've got. It would be remiss to not take that chance now, because with respect to them, there's also that.
That makes it easier, doesn't it?
But with respect to them, they don't always have a squad full of players of this quality, you know. And if there's, they don't look like a team that's going to make Europe now, but there's enough road left in the season that if they can turn their form around with the players they've got, they absolutely could. So it might be stick or twist time.
It's a kind of interesting juxtaposition, because it doesn't have to be play like shit and win, or play really well and lose. You can, you know, play shit and lose, and play well and win as well. Like and the issue with West Ham is, following up what we talked about a few weeks ago with Moyes, where people, you know, people don't have the passion to go, and they have a right to have their own opinion. And, you know, West Ham have scored very few goals really for their league position, although their league position is descending all the time, as Jim's mentioned. So that's a frustration. But one thing's for sure, like, you can bet your bollocks to a barn dance that if you play that way and you don't win, the vultures start circling a lot quicker, because the people go, okay, well, we'll accept the shit on a stick football if we're fifth in the league and we've just won a trophy. But actually, in a few weeks' time, when they end up about 13th or whatever it is, and they're still playing like shit, people's pulses at the top of the club start to quicken, and they start to think, well, we have to do something now. And you don't want to do something before it's too late. That said, they're not going to get relegated, that's for sure. It will still be an attractive proposition, given, presuming they're able to keep hold of a decent amount of their players, it will still be an attractive proposition for a manager like a Potter or another English manager, or maybe not even English manager, but a good manager who's still there and looking for work. So I don't think they need to worry too much about that. I do also think that the ownership needs to take their share of the blame, because they've been umming and ahhing about this contract for ages. And what it says to me is, you don't know what you want. It's fine for you to say, do you know what, David Moyes is our man, we believe in him, he's done this for us, he's done that for us. We can talk about maybe getting another coach in, or maybe modernising things in a different way, but he's our guy. Or it's fine, there's the ownership of the club, to say, he's not our guy. But don't do one neither, because if you do neither, everyone goes, well, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, and they've already got the bed sheets from last time.
Exactly. They want to get them down from the attic. It'll take 5 minutes. It's not a problem. So I just think, you know, they were out for... By Nottingham Forest. They do look like a team who are low on confidence, who don't really know what they're doing. And I mean, it should have been worse, really. I thought that the Awoniyi goal was a goal of such amazing quality. And you know, he got it fired into him. First touch was amazing, and then he obviously finished with the other foot. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And Hudson-Odoi popping up late on and scoring and being really passionate about it. It was a really big win for Nottingham Forest. They should have had another penalty as well. That's two games in a row they should have had a blatant penalty, and I have no idea what the refereeing team are looking at there. I mean, I know it's boring to go into kind of refereeing decisions in great detail and stuff, but I mean, it's just fucking farcical now. I mean, they've had one last time out, which was a blatant penalty, and then one in this game where the player has his foot trodden on, and it's clear as day. Like, it's clear as day for the referee to see it anyway, let alone the VAR not looking at it. So it should have been more goals for Forest, and it should have been worse for West Ham, but ultimately it wasn't, and they still won.
Well, on the decisions on the referee side of things, Nottingham Forest have appointed Mark Clattenburg as a referee analyst.
You know what we need? Are you watching Gladiators as well?
Because Spirit of Santa probably just wants to meet him.
Starstruck. Cool. Can you wear your kit? Wear your black and white striped shirt.
Well, speaking of the black and white shirt,
can I see your tattoo?
You do see that on Gladiators, which is quite funny when he puts his hands up. It's very good. I've witnessed the most haywire bit of promo work for a TV show I've ever seen, I think. So Mark Clattenburg, they've clearly been working up the PR for Gladiators, the return of Gladiators, big thing, obviously big BBC Saturday night shiny floor show. They've clearly caught Clattenburg on holiday at a villa, and the Daily Mail have sent a photographer to take a picture of him.
Oh God, can you imagine how much Clattenburg loves being papped?
I know, right? Well, they've mailed him a Gladiators referee shirt, and he's thought, well, I mean, I can't just be wearing like my swims. I'll put some trousers on. And so he's in front of like a swimming pool in like a referee shirt, really tight jeans, and then Jesus handles. It is the most astonishingly strange look I have ever seen.
But Mark Clattenburg
is saying something, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got mirrors.
Similar, yeah, exactly, yeah.
But Clattenburg's exactly the kind of guy who's seen that kind of look on probably a young, handsome modern, and I can wear that.
Do you reckon?
Oh, yeah.
Do you reckon?
I sometimes still do that.
I've been tricked by this particular model so many times. So
Clattenburg's been invited down to Forest, doesn't he, to be a consultant.
I mean, what's he going to say?
Well, he's going to go for a lot of hand moisturiser in the gents, presumably. He's not that kind of guy to take a lot of hand moisturiser after he's washed his hands.
Okay.
Yeah, and other than that, that's it. I mean, what else is he going
to
do?
He can't influence anything that's going to happen to them.
Do you reckon? I imagine Clattenburg sits in the boardroom and explains the decisions and then goes for an ice bath afterwards.
Well, he could probably explain the laws to them all, explain the VAR process, and then they'll fall down on the consultancy side because the VAR people, you know, in the following week won't follow their own process.
Yeah.
And what's he going to do? Just hand deliver Howard Webb's apologies to them every week?
Write their memos.
Nice work if you can get it.
He might be in the dugout. Imagine that. Just around the technical area, just like furiously disagreeing with refereeing decisions.
He can't be at the game. Surely he won't be at the bench.
Like,
that'd be amazing.
If he's an employee,
like briefing
surely,
the footballers. Don't get sent off. Like, yeah. That's all he's got. Yeah. Don't get a yellow.
Just remember before Calvin Phillips, whoever it was, goes out. It'll be Calvin Phillips who plays for West Ham. But for example, just don't forget two yellows is a red. Two yellows is a red.
Well, it's quite confusing. I've got the old, I can't remember what colour it is. Purple, orange, what's
blue,
the
blue. Blue.
Blue card.
How can you forget the blue card?
It's
the biggest news for ages.
They invented it like 2 weeks ago. We won't hear of it again. Well, before we go, Jim, Luke, the rest of yous, fans in Germany equipped some remote-controlled toy cars with flares and drove them around the pitch. You will have seen this over the weekend if you've been on social media. Stadium staff were filmed like kicking, chasing the cars to try and flip them onto their backs.
Yeah.
How did they manage to get this? They're protesting. Sorry, I must say that they're protesting a proposed deal to sell a stake in the Bundesliga rights to a private equity investor. Fans threw tennis balls and remote control cars during Werder Bremen's 1-0 win over Cologne. They're just basically streaking around the pitch, these radio control cars. So it's very exciting.
There's a big security guard, big lad, shuffling around trying to get them off, and they've got flares attached to them, as you already said. So, like, it's chaos. But what he doesn't know is, if you watch the video, that those radio controlled cars are the ones that if you flip them on their back, they carry on driving.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So
Bit of planning, that.
Yeah, the only way he could have stopped it is if he bent down and picked them up. But of course, every time he tries to bend down and pick them up, they just drive off again. So he's trying to kick them.
Right.
And it ends up being this whole Laurel and Hardy type sketch where he can't really get to them or do anything about it.
What's wrong with a nice hearse doing donuts? Remember
I know. It's probably very hard to get a hearse into Werder Bremen, though.
A good point, actually.
Yeah,
how did they get? I mean, these these cars were huge. Like, RC cars are huge.
Yeah, I don't really know how they smart. German fans are, like, consistently brilliant at these protests. Yeah. They always find a way of doing something good.
Why are Premier League fans hacks, Jim? Why are we just, I'm going to get a banner on a plane and do a racist?
I think it's because the government will go, like, oh, you're going to have to retire at 75 now. We're going, oh, all right, fine.
Yeah, we don't care.
It's part of the national psyche. Yeah, we do care, but we're just defeated. No, yeah. We're just born defeated.
We love
defeated.
A boot in our mouth. We just like, yeah, more outside investment. Yeah, crunch the thing we do on Saturday into like a big ball, a big tasteless Kuehl-flavoured cube.
There's nothing I can do about it, so I'll just gobble it down.
Yeah. And I in the same afternoon last week, I heard an advert on the radio saying, have you thought about turning your shower down a bit cooler so you don't use as much energy?
Yeah. Fuck off.
Maybe limit your shower to 30 seconds. And I walked into the other room and saw a news report saying that the company that owns British Gas had made 144 billion or something.
Ooh, two rooms. Yeah. Someone's doing well for themselves. Yeah.
And I thought, what a luxury I've got having two rooms and a house with a carpet in it. And I slapped myself for my insolence. Pete's absolutely right. That whether we want to admit it or not in Britain, we love being ruled by posh people.
Yeah.
It's just part of the cycle. There'll never be a revolution in England as long as we're alive. No. Ever. Yeah, and that's why I like the Scottish more, because they got a little bit about them.
They got a bit about them and they've got good drinks.
At least they take the piss and it's funny.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, north or south of the border. Part of the Aircast Creator Network. We love the Aircast Creator Network.
It's a great
advertorial network.
It's one of the best creator networks I'm aware of.
Yeah. Definitely. Join myself and Andy tonight for Ramble React after Everton versus Crystal Palace. A line in the running order I read about half an hour ago because I completely forgot I'm doing it. So I'm going to give Andy absolute both barrels.
Yeah,
I love a late night Andy and me little tete-a-tete.
Yeah, I'd love it too. It's one of them, it's one of the highlights of the Ramble calendar for me. Last time,
because Andy's a bit tired.
Yeah.
So, but he never gets to the point of being fractious.
And I'll speak on. He's a very very good natured guy.
Yeah.
But he's probably like me. He looks at you and he goes, "Oh fucking hell, I'm gonna have to do a lot of the work tonight."
Yeah. Damn right. Yeah.
But last time on Ramble React with me and Andy, I outed him as being my secret lover.
Okay.
And he didn't deny it.
Yeah.
In the edit, he didn't deny it anyway.
Yes, I agree. I am.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of that, just to tie this in, did you see the Conservative Party cropped that thing of Sadiq Khan?
Right.
And it was like him saying the Labour Party is the party of anti-Semitism because
he accidentally.
And they edited to make him look like an anti-Semite, basically, which is really naughty. The chairman of the Conservative Party went on the radio and said, "Oh, it wasn't actually edited; it was cropped." And the presenter goes, "It's the same thing." And he's like, "I think you're fine. It's not the same thing." And the guy just goes, "I'm an audio professional." And just moves on to the next thing.
Nice.
That was delicious. Sorry to cut in, but I wanted to talk about that.
Big fan of that. Well, you can follow us non-audio professionals on X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble, and follow us on Spotify. Speaking of Facebook, Mark, who does Facebook? Mark
Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg. Did you see him in the one of the corners at the UFC dressed as one of the coaches?
No,
he looked very out of place. He looked
like, I'd love to look at that.
You know when you see like a coach. You know when you see like a coach in the dugout for like a Premier League team. You're like, what's he doing there? He looks like 100.
He was recently talking about creating an AI that is equal to or better than or more intelligent than a human being, and making it open source. Brilliant.
Nothing but yeah, that.
What could possibly go wrong?
Can I just say, I've got a little personal thing in my mind, is the level of the most famous people Pete can forget the name of.
Yeah.
I think Mark Zuckerberg just goes straight out of the top 10.
Top 100.
Because most people go, who's that guy we used to work with back 15 years ago? You can't remember. Pete will go, who is, insert one of the world's most famous people?
That's why I need AI.
You do.
You need
a Neuralink straight in your brain.
I need data banks. Yes, you can also follow us at Football Ramble on all of those places. And follow us on Spotify as well. If you're having trouble listening to the show, Apple are just doing bits this week. They're being very silly sausages.
They are being a pain in the arse. And that's why this episode is dedicated to the great Elon Musk.
Tim Cook.
Yes.
Was he the spaceman? Was it too Tim Cook?
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.